and I said, "Bright Star, you certainly surprise me. I had no expectations of meeting you as such a beautiful and bright spirit." And she said, "The love of God makes us all alike. We who have that love are not Indian or pale face or yellow face, but are all the children of the Father, and as His love is the same unchangeable love, those who receive it are all the same in their beauty and color and brightness. He is no respecter of color or race. His love makes our appearance, and as our souls become more filled with this love, we become more like Him, and only love appears, and color, and race and previous conditions disappear. Now what do you think of that to come from our little Indian girl? I tell you that the things I have learned here are wonderful and surprising." Well, to continue, after I had lived in this condition of happiness for some time, and saw that my future depended upon my progress, for you must know I could not go with Rose to her home because she was so much more spiritual than I commenced to examine myself to learn what my drawbacks were, and as I continued to make this self-examination, I found that my life on earth, or rather my recollections or memories of that life, were still with me, and that I must do something to get rid of them, and conscience commenced to work, and I soon saw myself as I had never seen myself while on earth. And the more transparent my actual self became, the more this conscience 113 accused me of things done unremitted while a mortal, and with these accusations came sufferings, for she and your wife and my mother all told me the way, but somehow I could not just understand how to find it. And so the days went by and I suffered. But as I continued to pray, for you must understand that I had been praying ever since I commenced to suffer, all of a sudden a feeling of peace came to me, and with it a great love that I had never felt before, and I realized that it was the Father's love that my Rose and the others had been telling me of, and since then my sufferings have been growing less and less, and my prayers and faith more and more. Oh, how I regret that in my earth life, I had not sought this love. How much suffering I would have avoided, and how much more happiness would have been mine. Let me tell you, and my friends, the Colburns and Dr. Stone, that this is no idle tale, but a stern, unavoidable reality, and I, like though unlike Lazarus, arise from the dead and tell you all, with all the emphasis that I can command, that if you want to avoid darkness and suffering and get into happiness when you come over, seek with all your heart this love while you are mortals. I come very near to you, for only a short time ago, I was with you, joining in your speculations as to the life of which I am now a part, and now as your friend who has set aside speculation with knowledge, I tell you this great truth, and with all my heart urge you to believe me, and take this truth to your hearts and souls. Well, I have written you a long letter and must stop. But before doing so, permit me to say, that you all have my thanks for the help that you gave me in the short time that we were friends. The few months that we knew one another were, as I now realize, the most profitable months to me of all those that I spent in the investigation of spiritualism. So give my love to my friends and keep some for yourself, and believe me when I say, I am your own true friend and brother, Frank D. Sirik. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you received quite a long letter from the judge, Frank Sirik, and also a most eloquent and truthful one. He has told you the true conditions of his coming to us and of his subsequent experiences. I told you the other night that I wanted him to tell you his own story, and tonight I made conditions favorable for him to do so. You will find much food for the Paget Messages 1915, thought in what he has written, and coming from one who has so recently left you, I have no doubt it will have its impression on you and his other friends. He is now progressing, and very soon, I think, he will have so much of this love that he will progress to the third sphere. His Rose is with him so much, and her love for him is so pure and true, that he will necessarily feel that the greater love of the Father is his if he will only pray and believe. We are all trying to help him, and he in certain ways is like a little child. He is very susceptible to our teachings and to the influence of love, and because of that condition of his mind I think that his progress will be rapid. He loves his Rose and thinks that her word is his gospel, and well he may, for her advice comes from a heart that is full of love for him, and also filled with the love of the Father. He is a very blessed spirit. Well, sweetheart, You are tired and must stop, or you may feel the effects of the strain. Yes, I was here, and I think he is what you would call a little off. His ideas as to his being the Six before the Six is all wrong. He will never be the leader of the Baha'is or any other sect of religionists. He is too material for that, and as for his being the greatest man in the nation, why, that is far beyond absurdity. Yes, I can and I will, for it may do him good to know that he has someone in the entire wide universe who loves him. He needs love more than anyone that I have seen for a long time. I mean among mortals. So I will try to find her and let you know later. So with all my love, I am your own true loving, Helen. May 12, 1915. I am here, Queen Elizabeth I of England. I have been here several times but have never before been able to get the chance to write to you, and now that I have, do not disappoint me in my hope that you may help me. Well, I was a very bad woman on earth, as I now see the true relation of things and deeds, and am suffering from the memory of those things. I was looked upon as a creature of the divine favor and could, therefore, do no wrong, and that whatever I said or did must be obeyed and followed by my subjects, and others who lived within my dominions. I lived a life that was not in accordance with the laws of morality or of God as they now appear to me, and when I tell you that, although I was a single woman yet had my lovers 114, to gratify my passions and to please my caprices, you will understand that I was a wicked woman and that those are the things that now cause my sufferings and darkness. I am not a spirit who thinks that because I was a ruler that therefore I could do no wrong. I knew at the time that many things I did were wrong, and consequently my sufferings have become so much the greater. Many a poor soul has been sent to damnation by my commands, a damnation on earth, as well as here. Even murder I was guilty of, although it may have had a legalized form, but it was murder nevertheless, and I am suffering the penalties. Why, some of my truest and best friends in moments of jealousy and envy I sent to the block, to afterwards bitterly regret my deed. Oh, I tell you that a queenly crown makes no difference in the penalty that must be paid for evil deeds. Many a humble subject of mine is now where I cannot go, and where they find happiness and love, as I am told. I loved once truly and deeply, but I sacrificed the object of my love through pique, and what I wanted in my blind rage to have him do, and he would not, and how bitterly I regretted the deed and suffered even while on earth. Yet I was to all outward appearances callous and without feeling. But God knows how my heart bled, and how my very soul was racked with remorse and torture, but I was a queen and had no right to have the feelings of a human being. I loved, and love had to be hid. He knew it and died in the knowledge that love wept while I killed him. Sometimes I hope that this love will meet again with the love of the victim, and be one throughout all eternity. Well, I will not relate the vast number of evil deeds that I did, but only say that as my opportunity for committing evil without fear of punishment was great, so the number of my deeds was great. But I have suffered in darkness and torment, and love has been absent from me all these years of the travail of my soul. I have lived alone, as I saw no pleasures in what other spirits who lived near me were engaged in. When I first entered the spirit world, I was still a queen as I believed, and many of my subjects who had become spirits and knew me still believed I was their queen and worshipped me as such. But as time passed they saw that while on earth I may have been of divine creation, yet as a spirit I was without any evidence of divine right and no better than themselves, and they soon ceased to look upon me as superior to themselves and as is usual, the Paget Messages 1915, as you on earth say, they went to the other extreme and treated me with neglect and even taunted me for having been on earth a fraud and deception. I soon hated them all, and so sought my consolation in silence and isolation. What a mockery is nobility on earth, and what a leveler is the spirit world! I many times have wished that they had let me remain the simple country girl and not made me the queen of a great nation. I can now see that if my life had been that of a subject living in God's pure and uncontaminated country air, I would now be a much happier spirit. But it is now too late. As I made my bed, I must lie in it, and there is no remedy. But yet when despair and darkness come to overwhelm us, there yet seems some good providence which gives us a little ray of hope, and even though it comes to us as a glint of sunlight, yet it comes, and we sometimes think that in the future, we know not when, there may be some relief for us. And so that glint of hope comes to me sometimes, and I feel that God has not forsaken me altogether. I have seen spirits made happier by coming to you, and so I came with just that little spark of hope, telling me that you might help me, and if you can please do so. I was Elizabeth, Queen of England, and died in 1603, a little mourned woman. Yes, I will do as you say. Yes, I see the beautiful spirits. I see your mother, and she says that she will take me with her and show me the way to light and happiness, and will love me, as God loves me, as he does all his children. So I am going with her, and now I want to say that as you are my true friend and well-wisher, I believe what you told me and want you to think kindly of me, as not many do. So with might, I will say good night, Elizabeth. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you have had a long meeting tonight and are tired and must not write more. Yes, it was a spirit who was once a queen, but she is so poor now that there are none to do her reverence. Your mother will help her, though, and she will get out of her darkness. She has long years of remorse and suffering and is in condition to grasp the truth. She is like a drowning woman catching at a straw, but in her case it will not be a straw but the true love of the Father that she may get. Well, I love you with all my heart and soul, and will watch over you tonight as you sleep and try to make you have pleasant dreams. So until we meet again in communication, I am and will be your own true and loving, Helen. May 13, 1915. I am here, your grandmother. I am happier than I can tell you. I am living in my home of which I told you a few nights ago, and it is a beautiful home beyond the possibility of description. Tonight, I want to tell you of my experience in seeking the love of God, and in realizing that he is my Father, who loves me with a love that knows no shadow of wavering or cessation. I was not always filled with faith, or believed so implicitly in prayer, but in my early married life, I received the conviction that if I would be happy in life and fitted to receive the blessings which the Bible promised to those who should seek the Lord and his love, I must see the necessity of seeking, and I, with all the earnestness of my nature, commenced seeking for the Father's love, and as a result I found it, and with it to great happiness and peace. You know what my spiritual condition was in my later years on earth, and how my faith was such that, although I was nearly deaf and blind, yet I was happy and joyful. Well, when I came to the spirit world, I brought that faith and love with me, and I found that it was just as real here as it had been on earth. Of course, in some of my beliefs I was mistaken, such as my belief that Jesus was God, and that his death and blood saved or could save me from sin and damnation, but notwithstanding my mistakes in these particulars, my love for the Father was not interfered with, and I continued to live in that love and was happy. I had not been in the spirit world a great while, before spirits of a higher order than myself came to me and told me many wonderful things of the Father's kingdom, and that my progress to the higher spheres would depend upon my receiving more of this divine love in my soul and becoming more at one with the Father. The first time I saw Jesus was after I had been in the third spirit sphere a short while, and when I met him he impressed me as being the most beautiful and loving spirit that I had ever seen, and when he told me that he was Jesus, I, of course, 115, the Paget Messages 1915, was somewhat surprised, because I had believed that he was sitting in the heavens on the right hand of God, as I had been taught on earth to believe. And when he saw my surprise he looked on me with a wonderful love and said that I must not further believe that he was God, or even a part of him, or that he was in the high heavens accepting the worship of men, for he was only a spirit as I was, and was still working among mortals as well as spirits to lead them into the light in the way to the Father's love. At first, I confess, it was difficult for me to believe this, and I had my doubts, but his manner of talking to me and the wonderful love that he displayed, not only for me but for all mankind, soon convinced me that he was the true Jesus and not an impostor. And afterwards, I met many spirits who knew him and had been his followers for many years, and they told me that he was the Jesus of the Bible, and I could not do anything else but believe. And now, after my long years of association with him and feeling his ministrations of love and the influence of his greatness, I know that he is the true Jesus, who by his teachings and overwhelming love saves men from their sins, by showing them the way to the Father's kingdom. So my dear son, do not doubt what I tell you now in reference to this matter, or what I have already told you. Well, it is somewhat difficult to describe his appearance, but I will try. He is of a commanding figure, as you say on earth. His features are regular, and his eyes are of a deep blue, almost a purple blue, with such depths of love in them that under its influence you almost forget to note the color of his eyes. The hair is a beautiful brown, worn long and parted in the middle so that it falls over his shoulders. His nose is straight and somewhat long, with nostrils very refined and showing the artistic elements in his nature. His other features are in keeping with those I have described. He wears a beard quite long and very silky and brown like his hair. His manner is grace itself and modesty personified, and yet in him is the intensity of feeling which can show itself in just indignation when the occasion requires. And yet with all the great beauty of his person and the greater love of his soul showing itself, he is very humble, more so than any spirit I have seen. I have given you a bare outline of his appearance, and you will never fully realize in your mind's eye just what his appearance is, and only when you come over and meet him will you fully understand the appearance of the most wonderful 116, and beautiful and loving spirit in all God's universe. Someday this will happen, and you will not have the doubts that I had, and your heart will go out to him from the first moment of your meeting. My dear son, it is a greater privilege than you can appreciate, to be thus prepared to meet your friend and teacher, for he is your friend to a degree that is beyond what I thought he would ever be while you were on earth. So you see, my experience was a somewhat exceptional one, and one secret of its being so is that I received very great faith and the love of my Father, while on earth. While the teachings of many preachers are that the earth is the only place of probation, and that teaching is not correct, yet if it were believed more, and mankind should prepare their future in view of the belief, many a man, when he becomes a spirit, would avoid experiences that are very unpleasant and retard his progress in the spirit world. Of course, such a belief, that the earth is the only place of probation, when the mortal fails to make the preparation, will work him great injury after he becomes a spirit, because such a belief is difficult to get rid of. And as long as it lasts, the spirit is very apartment to believe that his status is fixed forever, and hence he will not progress until he accepts the truth. So you see, after all, the only good belief is a belief in the truth, which never changes. Probation is not confined to the earth life but is with man and spirits alike. In fact, it never ends, for each preceding condition of a spirit is nothing more than a probationary condition to what follows. But the great probationary condition, undoubtedly, is that which exists for the mortal while on earth, and if that probation is accepted and made the most of, the spirit of man gains an advantage which is beyond my ability to describe. Sometimes men do not attempt to take all the advantage of this probation on earth, and come to the spirit world in all their material thoughts and sins, with their souls dead, as Jesus said, and find that in such condition, as spirits, they have a more difficult time to awaken from such condition and progress, and I am informed that some spirits have been in this world for many years and have not yet had an awakening. So you must see the importance of taking advantage of the earth probation. Well, dear son, I have written a great deal and must stop now, though I should like to write you a much longer time. So with all my love I will close, and sign myself, your loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. The Paget Messages 1915. I am here, Jesus. Well, I am ready to write more of my discourses, and I want you to prepare for our writing very soon. I think that tomorrow night will suit for the work. Commence about 9 o'clock, and then you can write until we finish it. Yes, very soon the love will come to you in abundance, and you will realize its cleansing effect, and will also experience a wonderful peace filling your soul. So tomorrow night we will write. She was correct, except that she may have overdrawn her description of my beauty and goodness, but she thinks as she wrote and you must believe what she said. Well, I love you with all the love of an elder brother who is filled with the love of the Heavenly Father. This is all that I can say, for it is most comprehensive and leaves nothing to be added. I will pray with you tonight, that the Father's love may come to you in great abundance. So with the love that I mention and my blessings and the love and blessings of the Father, I am your true friend and brother, Jesus. May 18, 1915. I am here, Jesus. Let me write just to say, be true and the power will be given you and the truth of my revelations shall be heard throughout the world, by the work that you shall do in the way of writing. The richer will be your soul, but you must have faith and trust in the Father's love. I have said it and you will see the glory of the Father displayed, if you will pray and believe, with faith, there will be revealed all these precious things in existence, your brother and friend, Jesus. May 24, 1915. I am here, Jesus. You are feeling better tonight, and Elle will try to write a little. I do not know that you are in condition to take a formal message, but I will tell you some things that will be of interest to you and mankind. When I came to the world to teach the truths of my Father, the world was almost devoid of spiritual conception of the true relationship of God to man, and God was a being of power and wrath only. It was because of this conception of Him that the Jews were so devoid of the true knowledge of His nature and attributes. They only knew Him as a God who was interested in their material welfare, 117, and did not realize that He was a God who wanted them to know Him as their spiritual Father and Savior from the sins and evil natures that they possessed. And consequently when I came they looked upon me, I mean those who accepted me as their Messiah, as one who would redeem them from the slavery which their Roman conquerors had placed them in and make them a great and independent nation, more powerful than all the nations of the earth, and fitted to rule the whole world. They had no conception of my true mission on earth, and even my disciples, until shortly before my death, looked upon me merely as a savior of them from the burdens which the Roman yoke had placed upon them. The only one of my disciples who had any approximate realization of what my coming to earth meant, was John, and that was because of the great amount of love that seemed to be a part of his nature and being. To him I explained my real mission and taught him the spiritual truths which I came to teach, and the only way in which mortals could receive that love of the Father, which was necessary to make them one with the Father and enable them to partake of the divinity of the Father. Hence, only in John's Gospel is written the one necessary requirement to a full salvation and redemption of mankind. I mean the declaration that men must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is the only true way by which a man can become a true child of the Father, and fitted to live in and enjoy the Father's kingdom to the fullest. The other disciples had more or less conception of this necessary truth, but not the full comprehension of what it involved. Peter was more possessed of this love than were the other disciples, except John, and with it he also understood that I was the true Son of my Father, but he never understood nor declared that I was God. He was a man filled with zeal and ambition, but his development of love was not sufficient to enable him to fully realize that my kingdom was not to be an earthly one, until after my death, and then the conviction came to him in all its truth and fullness, and he became the most powerful and influential of all my disciples. After the Pentecost, all of my disciples understood what my real mission was, and they went into the world and preached the true doctrines of my mission on earth, and the love of the Father for his children and the fact that that love was waiting for all who should seek for it. The Paget Messages 1915. So you see that many of my disciples when on earth were not possessed of the true conception of my mission, and were not true followers of me in that inner meaning of what the love of the Father meant, and what I tried to preach to them. I have on earth now many mortals who understand my teachings better, and with a greater extent of soul knowledge, than did my disciples when journeying with me through Palestine. But there are a great many men and women now living who do not understand my teachings, even though they think they understand the Bible and the interpretations of its discourses in accordance with the accepted doctrines of the learned and so-called teachers of its truths. I don't feel that you can write more tonight and so will stop, and say that you must continue to get stronger, spiritually and physically, so that we can continue our writings more rapidly and with greater satisfaction. So believe that I am Jesus and your true friend and brother who is with you very much trying to help you and make you happy and contented. With my love and prayers, I am Jesus. I am here, Professor Salyards. I would like to give you another installment of my discourse, if you feel inclined to take it at this time. It was the Master, you must not doubt. Well, there is another law of the spirit world which provides that no spirit can ever progress to the higher sphere until he realizes that he must seek the love and help of the Father. You may say that there are many spirits in the higher spheres who have never received this love, and who, notwithstanding, have progressed and are now comparatively happy spirits. This is true, but their progress is merely intellectual and moral. They can progress to a limited degree only and then must stop in their progress, as the progress of the mind and the natural love has its limitations. But such progress is not the progress that I speak of. This is without limitations and leads to celestial spheres without end, progressing nearer and nearer to the very fountainhead of the Father, as the divine love increases in greater abundance in the soul to progress higher. This I am told by spirits from these celestial spheres. Well, I am sorry that you became sleepy, for it broke the thread of my discourse so that I cannot resume. Yes, I understand and do not blame you, but the effect is just the same. As your wife wants to write, I will stop. 118. Your old friend and teacher, Joseph H. Salyards. I am here, Helen. Well, you had a message from Jesus and I am glad that you could write for him, though it was not one of his formal ones as he said, but it was full of truth and interesting. So you must think of it and you will get benefit from it. Professor was disappointed that he could not finish his message, but he was not at all offended that you went to sleep. He understood that you could not keep awake, and so he will try again. I am very happy and am almost with your mother in her new home, and feel that I will soon be with her. So you must rejoice with me in my progression. I see that you are not in a very good condition to write tonight, and I will not write more now. With all my love, I am, your own true and loving, Helen. May 25, 1915. I am here, Jesus. You are better tonight in your spiritual condition and I will write a formal message. I desire to write on the subject of the real truth of the life on earth, and what it means to mortals. When men come to the knowledge that they are children of the Father and under his care and protection, they will see that they must lead such lives as will fit them to become in union with the Father and be able to partake of his love which makes them, as it were, a part of himself. I mean that there is in all men the potentiality of becoming a part of the divine essence, but in order for them to partake of this divinity they must let the love of the Father, in its highest nature, enter into their souls and make them at one with him. No mere love that they had bestowed upon them as creatures of the Father's handiwork will enable them to attain to this exalted condition. The natural love, of itself, is not sufficient, because when that love was bestowed upon them it was merely intended to enable them to live in a good and harmonious way with their fellowmen. It was not the real love that formed a part of the divine nature of the Father, and was not intended to make men a part of that nature. So, in order for men to receive this higher love, they must do the will of the Father while on earth, or they will have a more difficult work, after they become spirits, in receiving the wonderful inflowing of this divine love. The Paget Messages 1915. The earth is the great plane of probation, and the development of the souls of men depends upon their correct living, in accordance with those principles which the Father has established as the means whereby they may receive this condition of love, which alone can make them at one with him. Merely good deeds are not sufficient. Back of all deeds must be the soul's development, which results only from the possession of this love. I do not mean by this that deeds do not form a part of this development, for they do, but deeds without the possession of this love will never make a man the possessor of the one thing needful to ensure his entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Men must love one another, and must of course, do unto each other as they would be done by. If this rule of conduct was observed, men would be much happier on earth, even if they do not possess the divine love that I speak of. No man can of himself become filled with this love, for in only one way will it come into his soul, and that is by prayer to the Father for its inflowing, and faith that he will give it to him who asks earnestly and humbly. I know that some men think that prayer is nothing more than an appeal to their own better selves, but I tell you that this is a wrong belief, and when they realize the truth that prayer ascends to the Father, and is heard by him and answered, they will understand the great mission and benefit of prayer.